Today on The King is Coming.
We have a God, a personal God that we know, who has specifically laid out what's going to happen in the last days. God says, just believe every bit of it. That's basically what he's saying. So it's not a fatalistic thing. It's God working through history. What exactly is Bible prophecy? And what specifically can it do for me in my life right now? We're going to find out today on The King is Coming.
Jesus spoke often about the end of the world and what it would mean for you as a believer. In Matthew 24, he said, "You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise against nation, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places." Jesus wasn't trying to scare us. He was preparing us. In our brand new 6-part DVD series, Jesus and the End of the World, we'll uncover what Jesus taught about the signs of the times, the hope of his return, and how we can live with courage and faith in uncertain days. Call now to receive this powerful series for any gift of $45 or more to The King is Coming today. Discover how the words of Jesus will bring clarity, confidence, and hope for today and tomorrow. Call now or go to thekingiscoming.com. Thank you.
Well, welcome to The King is Coming. We're in a series called The Secrets of Bible Prophecy. We're talking about the nature of prophecy, what it means for our lives, and how we can sort of wrap our minds around this concept that really is an enigma to most people. As we talked about in the last program, it's sort of like a Rubik's Cube. It's hard to really understand. But we're going to demystify exactly what that is so that you can understand it in a way that makes most sense to you. Now, Jesus talked about some of the dangers of the last days. And in Matthew chapter 24, his disciples came to him and they asked him about, "Jesus, what's going to happen in the last days? What are these last days events going to happen? When are you going to come back? When are you going to restore, build your kingdom and bring in the new age?" And the very first thing that Christ tells them is this in Matthew chapter 24, verse 4. It says, "And Jesus answered and said to them, 'See to it that no one misleads you.'" What an odd place to begin talking about Bible prophecy. Jesus, why would you say that? Well, because when you talk about the end times, by definition, you're talking about something that hasn't happened yet. You're talking about the future. You're talking about the fact that these are unknown events, right? At least most people don't know what they are. And so when you talk about those type of things, there are going to be people that are going to come in and say, "I know what's going to happen. I can predict the future." And so Jesus said that in the last days, in fact, the very next verse, he says, "For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many." So misleading people and really mistaking the whole world of Bible prophecy is what Jesus warned his last days disciples about. Now, what does that actually look like? What does it look like for people to fall prey to basically three things: deception, ignorance, and confusion? How do we avoid those things? So what I want to do today is to talk about this idea of what are the 6 big mistakes that people make with Bible prophecy. We'll come back to the whole idea of deception here in the next program here, but let's talk about 6 of the big mistakes. These are sort of traps, they're landmines, they're obstacles that people trip over in talking about Bible prophecy. Here's the first one. Mistake number one is that people tend to sensationalize Bible prophecy. If you go online and you just type in books on Bible prophecy or TV shows on Bible prophecy or whatever it might be, you're going to find a whole array. Every color of the rainbow is going to be involved in this thing. You're going to find people that are doing what we call hard or soft date setting, people that are trying to make every headline into a Bible prophecy. My wife reminded me a long time ago. She said, "Jeff, Bible prophecy is sensational enough just as it is. We don't have to put any more makeup on Bible prophecy. It's fine just like it is, right? In other words, God hasn't given us prophecy so that we can then add stuff to it. What we read in Daniel, in Thessalonians, in John, in Revelation, in Matthew, these are passages and places in Scripture that give us a sensational, almost science fiction-like view of the future. And we know from God's Word it's all going to come true. However, people still sensationalize it. In fact, many years ago, there was a man who came out with a pamphlet, and the pamphlet was called 88 Reasons Why Christ is Coming Back in 1988. Well, he came to this conclusion by misinterpreting and sensationalizing a passage out of Matthew chapter 24 about this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. So he figured, well, a generation is 40 years, and Israel became a nation in 1948. I'm just going to add 40 to 48. That comes up to 88. So Jesus must be coming back in 1988. Well, guess what didn't happen in 1988? Christ did not come back. So undeterred, this person wrote another booklet called 89 Reasons Why Christ Will Come Back in 1989. Well, guess what? Jesus didn't come back in 1989. But people periodically will say that the Lord is coming back. They'll sensationalize things. Why? Because they'll capitalize on some unknown event or some crisis is happening. For example, some of you remember Y2K. People thought this was going to be the end of the world at Y2K. And then along comes the Mayan apocalypse in 2012. People say, well, they predicted the end of the world, so they must be right, right? No, only God's Word is right. And then along in 2017, there was this planetary alignment with the stars and the planets were lining up in a certain way. And people were saying, well, that's Revelation chapter 12 with the woman and the stars beneath their feet and all these, the Virgo, and all these different constellations. And I remember at that time I was interviewed for this documentary on DirecTV. This crew flew all over the world. They ended up at my house and asked about this passage. And I said, no, it's not predicting the rapture of the church. Guess what? Rapture of the church didn't happen 2017. But you have others. You have things like the blood moons and signs in the sky. And so eclipses, all these things. People are going to use these things to try to sensationalize Bible prophecy. So we have to be careful. We have to be careful. So here's the point. The point is that we need to make sure that we say what the Bible says. Now, there's nothing wrong with promoting prophecy. There's nothing wrong with even speculating as long as we say that. As long as we say, look, I don't know how this prophecy is going to come true exactly. It could come true this way, A. It could come true this way, or could be fulfilled this way, B or C, right? Or some other way we don't know. It's okay to speculate that as long as we don't speak authoritatively when the Bible doesn't speak authoritatively. But the problem with sensationalizing prophecies is that it comes across very authoritative. People write books on it. They make a lot of money on it. We're not going to do that here at The King is Coming. We're going to always tell you what the Bible says and only what the Bible says. And if we say, look, it could happen over here this way, then you'll know we're speculating, but we're not speaking authoritatively. So we want to be careful not to create some sort of prophecy circus and promote all kinds of things that aren't found in the Word of God. So that's a big mistake. To sensationalize prophecy is unnecessary because prophecy itself is already sensational. Here's a second big mistake that people make, is that they will actually scoff at Bible prophecy or mock Bible prophecy. Say, Jeff, where does that come from? Well, it comes directly from the writings of Peter. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter's writing to believers that are scattered all across Asia Minor. And listen to what he says. He says, know this, verse 3, know this first of all, that in the last days mockers will come with their mocking, following after their own lusts or their own desires or their own agendas, okay? And saying, where is the promise of His coming? Oh, do you see that? What are they mocking? They're mocking the coming of the Lord. And they say that, look, your Jesus hasn't come for 2,000 years. What makes you think He's going to come back now? Well, how do we respond to that? I'll tell you when we come back on The King is Coming.
We're living in a world filled with
chaos, confusion, and quite frankly, wickedness. The world needs Jesus now, at this time, more than ever before. The King is Coming is helping to meet that need by bringing hope, help, and clarity to people who desperately need it. Please consider a donation to this ministry. Be a monthly donor, be a weekly donor, anything to help partner with us to help get the gospel out to the world. We appreciate your prayerful consideration. So these mockers talk about, your Lord's not coming back. He hasn't come back for 2,000 years. In fact, the verse here says, for ever since the fathers fell asleep, creation and the world history has just continued on, just as it has been from creation. But Peter says, what they don't understand or what they purposefully suppress is that God created the world a long time ago, and then he destroyed it with flood and the flood of Noah. And essentially what Peter's saying is that God once sent judgment, and it says in verse 7 that God will send judgment again. And so that's what they refuse to acknowledge, is the fact that God is sending judgment. And when we talk about Bible prophecy, prophecy is one of the things that can help convince them, because of past prophecies fulfilled, that the future ones will also be fulfilled as well. And so just know that there's going to be mockers in the last days. Someone has written, pharaohs and foolish atheists have ridiculed and dismissed the clear truth about God for centuries. There will always be people who will deny the legitimacy, the authenticity, the credibility of the Word of God, and even deny the events that happened. People today do not believe that the flood and Noah's day actually even happened, that God brought judgment. Well, they're repeating the same mistake, because the people in Noah's day didn't believe it was going to come either. So they're simply repeating what Peter said that they're going to do. Jude weighs in here, talks about these mockers. He says that they're energized by their own depraved hearts and sinful desires. And some of them will even creep into churches, and they'll cause division and spread worldly-minded rumors and teachings in the church. Jude verse 19 says, they do not even possess the Spirit of God. So any teaching that comes in and teaches something contrary to what God says is going to happen in the last days is a false teaching. And Jude says, those who teach these things do not possess the Spirit of God. Because if they did, the Spirit of God would be convicting their hearts of these things and driving them back to the Scripture. So these mockers are not just coming in the future. They're already here right now. Here's a third mistake that people make, and this is a big one today in the church, is that they ignore Bible prophecy. They don't mock it necessarily, but they ignore it. Now, how do they do that? Well, in the Old Testament, God sent prophets to repeatedly tell Israel that that God's judgment was coming. And we know from the book of Daniel, Hosea, Jeremiah, that they would not listen to the prophets. These prophets were actually speaking for God. It says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 23, they did not listen or incline their ears, but they stiffened their necks in order to not to listen or to take correction. And yet God continued to send his prophets. And in the New Testament, in fact, Peter excoriated these same types of Jewish leaders for their rejection of the prophesied Messiah. And after Pentecost, after Jesus had risen and ascended to heaven, in Peter's sermon, he calls them out. And he says in Acts chapter 7, let's just read these verses together here, because I think this is important for you to hear. Acts chapter 7, Peter's speaking to these leaders. And listen to what he says here in verses 51 through 53 here. He says this. He says, you men who are stiff-necked and uncircumcised in your hearts and ears are always resisting the Holy Spirit. You are doing just as your fathers did. He says, which one of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they kill those who had previously announced the coming of the righteous one. That's Bible prophecy. Whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. He says, you who received the law as ordained by angels, and yet you didn't keep the law. So Peter uses Bible prophecy to show the Jewish leaders of his day that they were simply ignoring the Word of God. Now, there's a difference between the average Christian saying, I believe in the Bible, and saying, I believe everything in the Bible. Because once you study the whole Bible, you find there are a lot of things in there that are sort of unbelievable or hard to believe. But guess what? God says they're still true, and God says they're still going to happen. What about Luke chapter 24? This is an amazing passage. And Luke is giving the account of these two disciples after the resurrection. And it says they are walking from Jerusalem 7 miles to a village called Emmaus. And one of them's name was Cleopas, we find out in verse 18. And it says in verse 15 that Jesus himself approached them. This is a post-resurrected Christ, and began traveling with them. But it says their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. And he's walking with them, and he says, hey, what are these words that you're exchanging with one another as you're walking? And they stood still, looking sad. And one of them said, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of these things which have happened in these days? And Jesus said, what things? And they said, the things about Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty indeed in word and sight and all God, in sight of God and all the people, how the chief priests and the rulers delivered him up to the sentence of death and crucified him. Listen to this. It says, but we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel, speaking of the Messiah coming and setting up his kingdom. Indeed, besides all these things, it's the third day since these things have happened. And then they go on to talk about, yeah, there's some women who have said that he's come back from the dead through a vision of angels, but we don't believe that, right? Now, listen to what Jesus says to them. Instead of him saying, look, guys, look, I understand. All those Old Testament passages about the Messiah coming, there's a lot of them, and they're really confusing. And I understand why you wouldn't understand it. And it's okay. I give you a pass. No harm, no foul. You know what? Jesus did not say that to those two disciples, two ordinary guys just walking down the road. Look what he says to them in verse 25. And he said to them, O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. In other words, Jesus sternly rebuked two average believers because they did not accept prophecy, because they ignored, they did not understand it. And you know what that tells us? It tells us that Jesus Christ expects us to know prophecy. He expects us to understand what he says that's going to happen in the future, just like he expected those disciples to know what the prophets have said about the first coming of Jesus Christ. But notice what he does graciously in the next verse. It says, was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory? And it says, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them the scriptures. What does it mean, Moses and all the prophets? I'll tell you when we come back on The King is Coming. We're living in a world filled with chaos, confusion, and quite frankly, wickedness. The world needs Jesus now, at this time, more than ever before. The King is Coming is helping to meet that need by bringing hope, help, and clarity to people who desperately need it. Please consider a donation to this ministry. Be a monthly donor, be a weekly donor, anything to help partner with us to help get the gospel out to the world. We appreciate your prayerful consideration. We saw where the Bible says Jesus began to explain to these disciples beginning with Moses and the prophets. Moses represents the first five books of the law. The prophets represents the rest of the Old Testament. So Jesus basically gave these disciples a walk through the Old Testament, describing all of the scriptures that spoke about the coming Messiah that they should have known. Wouldn't you love to have Jesus Christ himself teach you through the Old Testament? How great of a teaching time would that be? And I love this, that in verse 31, it says their eyes were open and they recognized him. And then it says, and he vanished. He completely disappeared from their sight. But notice what they say in the next verse. Says, they say, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us? Listen, that ought to be the experience of every believer when they hear the Word of God explained to them, especially to unpack Bible prophecy. When you hear Bible prophecy explained to you in a way that makes sense to you, it ought to make your heart just catch on fire. And that's what happened to these disciples. So we have to be careful not to ignore prophecy, but also not to be slow to believe it. Don't be slow to believe it. Jesus expects us to connect the dots. And today, we have a lot of people here today in the world that say you really can't know anything. And, you know, everybody has a voice. They're talking about UFOs and aliens and all these things. Listen, just stick to what the Word of God says and be like the noble-minded Bereans who examine the Scriptures. Here's another mistake that people make with the Bible prophecy. Mistake number five is that they actually misinterpret it and thus mislead others. You see, when you misinterpret something, it means you're going to probably misapply it. So inferior scholarship, if you will lead to intentional or unintentional deception. Did you get that? Inferior scholarship will lead to intentional or unintentional deception. So it's very important that we understand how to interpret Bible prophecy. Again, we're going to talk about that in a whole episode here upcoming on The King is Coming here. But when people misinterpret the Bible, they do it through unbiblical methods. They do it through unnecessary speculation. And what happens is that people end up not knowing what it really means. They're at best confused, and at worst, they're deceived. Now, this happened in the New Testament in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul had been with the Thessalonians for about 3 weeks or so, maybe a few more weeks longer. But during that time, what did he do? He covered Bible prophecy. How do we know that? Because 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5, after talking about very specific parts of the day of the Lord, the Antichrist, the coming apostasy, all these things, he says, do you not remember that while I was with you, I was telling you over and over and over these things? So Paul's just reviewing what he'd already taught them. So Paul warned the Thessalonian believers that there would be those who would come in, that there would be those who would mislead them. Guess what? That exactly happened. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, these false teachers came in and they told them that they had received a vision, they had a word from God, and they had a letter as if written by Paul. And the gist of their teaching was, you're in the tribulation period. You're in the day of the Lord already. You missed the rapture. And so, you know, stinks to be you, basically. And so the Bible says here that their faith was disturbed. They were shaken in their composure. They didn't know what to do. Why? Because they had this contradictory teaching against what Paul has said. So Paul had to write 2 Thessalonians to correct this false teaching. So the misinterpreting of Scripture and a prophecy misleads others. Now, there's several important things about these false teachers. We don't have time to go into great detail, but a couple of quick things about these false prophets, which, by the way, we'll do a whole episode again on false prophets here coming up in the next program. But they always cite themselves as authorities. They always look at themselves. They think of themselves as being authorities on the subject. They quote Scripture, they misquote Scripture, and they speculate way too much. They also make bold assertions. In other words, they're very confident about what they say. And then also, they end up creating more anxiety and confusion than they do peace and comfort. Now, misinterpreting prophecy basically means that people say things the Bible doesn't say. That's basically what it means, right? They reach conclusions that flow from an unreasonable understanding of the prophetic scriptures. And misinterpretation leads to the final huge error that people make with Bible prophecy, and it's this. Number six is they misapply it. You don't want to misapply Bible prophecy. Say, Jeff, what do you mean by that? Well, Bible prophecy will never tell you to go and sell all your possessions, go hide in an underground bunker, get in your pajamas and wait on Jesus somewhere on a mountaintop somewhere. It'll never tell you to do that. Bible prophecy will never make you panic. It will never produce fear, and it will never make you anxious. So if you're studying Bible prophecy and those feelings are coming upon you, just know that something is not right in the way you're studying it. You're either not reading it right, you're not interpreting it right, or you're not applying it correctly. On the contrary, this whole idea of fear has no place in the narrative for believers. Now, for unbelievers, yes, but not for for believers. And so we shouldn't say that. We also shouldn't say that, hey, it'll just pan out. It's kind of a fatalistic view. Whatever happens, happens. That's nowhere found in Scripture as well. We have a God, a personal God that we know, who has specifically laid out what's going to happen in the last days. God says, just believe every bit of it. That's basically what he's saying. So it's not a fatalistic thing. It's God working through history. And so, as we've seen, Bible prophecy is immensely applicational to our lives. It gives us hope, it gives us purity, it gives us security, confidence, comfort, expectancy, a sense of purpose in our short little lives that we have here on this planet. Listen, we should make sure that we study it accurately so that we can apply it to our lives accurately as well and precisely and in a way that makes perfect sense to us, just like we apply any other passage of the Scriptures. So what have we said? We talked about these six big mistakes that people make with Bible prophecy. I hope you wrote them down, because these are six ones you want to avoid out there. These are caution signs for all of us. So as we navigate this topography, if you will, of Bible prophecy, just know that there are mistakes out there. There are landmines, there are traps. But knowing that they exist and identifying them is one of the keys to unlocking the secrets of Bible prophecy. Well, listen, that's all the time we have this time for The King is Coming. We're going to continue this study in the secrets of Bible prophecy on the next program, so don't miss it. I'll see you then. God bless. My latest book, The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth, is a book that takes you to the end times through the eyes of Jesus himself. If you'd like a copy of this book, make a donation to The King is Coming. God bless.
You don't want to miss this opportunity to get Jeff Kinley's newest book. For any gift of $20 or more to The King is Coming, get your copy of The End of the World According to Jesus of Nazareth. Call now or go to thekingiscoming.com today. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jeff Kinley. We've been talking about on The King is Coming this man named Noah, and as it was in the days of Noah. Well, that's based upon a book that I wrote a few years ago called As It Was in the Days of Noah, Warnings from the Bible about the Coming Global Storm. And in this book, we talk about how the days that Noah experienced are the days that we're experiencing right now and how we can navigate those difficult times. I think this is a very relevant message for the world today. And it was when the book came out originally in 2014. It immediately went to number one, became the number one prophecy book in America. It rose to the number 94 spot out of 8 million books on Amazon and got me on programs like Fox and Friends, The Glenn Beck Show, The Ben Shapiro Show, and hundreds of other radio and TV shows. And I think it's mainly because it just struck a nerve. Well, today we're living in those days as well. And we've updated the book now, republished it. I've added two new chapters to it and added a bunch of new content in the back. I want you to get a copy of As It Was in the Days of Noah. It not only open your eyes to what's going on in the world around you as the Bible predicts, but also equip you on how you can walk in these difficult times. Pick up a copy of As It Was in the Days of Noah.